Go to cufflinks.com now and use code DVR20 to save 20% off your order, no minimum. That's right, the whole shebang, baby. DVR20, use it. You need a belt. You need cufflinks. You need ties. You need like a pocket square. Come on, look good. Elevate your style when you walk out the door in the morning. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. They have everything you need, and they got a great blog over there too that'll help you if you have an event coming up. So go over to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Welcome back to Daily DVR. Today we've got a special podcast for you. It's our Emmys preview. This weekend on Sunday night, the Emmys will be held in, what is it, Los Angeles, California, out near Solo. And Solo cannot be with me today. So I have a very special guest, a longtime listener, patron, friend, all-around awesome guy. It's Ando Calrissian. What's up, Andy?
Oh, not much, Axel. It's great to talk to you today. Looking forward to it.
I am so excited. Solo, we were supposed to do some Mindhunter and the Emmys, and then I had to push it because my gutters were being cleaned, and then I think he got called into some event, and the next thing you know, I was lucky enough to have Andy be available. So we're going to do this thing, man. It's going to be fun. We're just going to kind of go through the categories, the main ones, talk about the important stuff, maybe throw in a few notes on some categories that are a little lesser, but that we think are worthy of mentioning. And I think what we're also going to do is kind of really more concentrate on the stuff we like, what we've seen. We'll talk a little bit about like who's the favorite and whatnot, which is important. But I think, you know, we were saying before the show, a little bit more of our opinions and analysis rather than kind of like an industry overlook of like who should win or whatnot, because that's kind of a different kind of story. But let's start there. Andy, when you watch or do you like award shows? What's your overall opinion on them going in? Like, what's your whole thing about award shows?
Well, how do I start? I used to be, I've always been big into the Oscars, not so much the show itself. I love it because of, I just love movies, love TV, love all that kind of stuff. The Emmys are a little different for me because for a long time, I didn't care at all because it like way back in the day when Frasier would win 10 years in a row and all the, it was the same shows getting awarded every single year. And I can remember the exact moment where I started paying attention to again was when Michael Chiklis won for Vic Mackey for The Shield.
Yeah.
And he won best actor. And I'm like, okay, now they're actually paying attention to a little more diverse shows. And so since then, I've kind of paid attention to the Emmys. I mean, I don't live and die with who wins. I mainly watch it to try and or follow it. I don't always watch. I usually watch, but to be exposed to newer shows or something I may have missed or that kind of thing. So, and I love live TV too. So I don't know. That's basically where I am.
Yeah.
Award shows.
Yeah, I think we're in the same spot, brother. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think you can really judge art. Nobody's really better than somebody else. And that's really subjective. But this is a fun time to kind of celebrate TV. It reminds you of shows you watch. Sometimes you remember, oh, man, I should watch that. Or you get to kind of celebrate with other people and see that other people appreciated the same thing you did. And it exposes you and other people to things that they normally wouldn't be. And that, I think, is what has been more fun about the Emmys, is for the exact reason you mentioned. It was so boring when, even when it was a show you liked, to get the same, and it was just a recycled network. And now it's so diverse. There's so many. I mean, like, you look at the big, huge Emmy list, and there's, like, YouTube things that are nominated. You know what I mean? They're, like, they're nominating, like, little web shows that are on Vudu. Which I thought just gave you like big movies, but I guess they do their own shows now. Like everybody has something and that's kind of fun. It's a fun time where people are talking about TV, a subject we enjoy. Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I do like about them is that I know there's one person in particular we're going to talk a little bit about later, but it there's people that I followed from when they haven't been that popular, and it allows those specific actors or actresses or directors or whatever to even become bigger to the mainstream and have more success for people that I do enjoy, if that makes sense.
So. Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you, Andy. That's a great thing too about what the Emmys, I think, you know, that is, they realized that when television started changing and we had the whole golden era and peak TV and all that, I think that it became a necessity, right? That they become a place to expose people, because you see a lot of critics talk about that, podcasts, right? That like part of the job is to also expose the little shows so people can't, you know, because you have your favorites. So, and we did see that this year.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even though I know I used to like read a lot of history about the Oscars, and that was the whole reason the Oscars were started in the first place. It wasn't to award shows. It was to get people. It was used as a marketing tool when it started way back in the 20s. So, I mean, it's still doing that. So that's part of why when I was younger, didn't understand how all that worked, I would get mad. I still always remember thinking, well, why did Annie Hall beat Star Wars? It's because Star Wars didn't. At the time, I'm like, Star Wars is the best movie ever. Why? And then I finally realized, no, it's because Annie Hall needed the extra advertising, basically, because Star Wars had already made enough money.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
Now that I realize that, I don't necessarily. I get happy when my favorites win, but I don't get mad if they don't.
Yeah. No. Me neither. I can. I mean, at the moment, I do, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And then wait a second, I forgot in what context. But this is how they get you. It's kind of like the, and what you mentioned too is fun, is do you get into the live event aspect? Like, do you ever watch like the red carpet or anything like that?
I don't usually watch that. I will sometimes, and I'll sometimes watch the stuff that's like when they talk to the nominees or actors right after they get off the stage or something. I'll watch some of that, but I don't normally get into the red carpet. A lot of that is just too because of the time commitment it takes.
Yeah,
especially now with a 2.5-year-old in the house, I've got to be a little more selective with what I can watch and what I can't watch. So,
oh man, you're gonna make me cry, bro. I was at Costco and I saw this little 2.5-3-year-old boy. You know how, and I'm sure your son does it, like just holds his hand and just touches everything as he walks down the aisle.
Or in my case, runs down the aisle.
Oh, see, Lachlan would do that, but a lot of times he just walk places and hold his hand on things as he walked.
Uh-huh.
And I had a little tear in Costco. I'm like, no, I got to hold back the tears and get the dog food. I got a podcast to do later. But yeah, dude, it is a time commitment, and with football too. But my wife likes that a little bit more. I can kind of do without it. My wife enjoys it because she does like looking at the outfits and what people are wearing and who's with who and stuff. And when we had the chance to do that a little bit, 6 or 7 years ago, mm-hmm. we would have some hors d'oeuvres and watch it and like kind of catcall and make fun of people and maybe even have a friend over and make a thing of it, because live television is fun. And it's like it's like the sporting event. They're kind of like sporting events in a way.
Yep. I totally agree. And that it actually is something my wife and I do watch together. And I mean, where I'm at here, it doesn't start till 7:30, 8:00. So it's after Luke is in bed. So we can just sit and watch. And she likes to make fun of the dress or say how great somebody looks or how terrible they look too. So it's I'm into it more for the movie and or TV side of it, but
yeah,
it's something we can enjoy together, so that's always nice.
Yes, that does happen, and it is a good thing, right? It is good. It's a communal type of thing, and it brings you together with other people. And even going on like Twitter and stuff, I find that Twitter is more bearable when we're during like live events and stuff. People concentrate on that. You can have fun, and even people's personalities become a little bit more open, know, and accepting, okay, I made fun of someone, or I like this person, and they're not going to all of a sudden be like, you're horrible.
Yeah.
You can kind of say things that are a little bit more un-PC and have fun with it. And I like that too. So that's why a lot of people get negative about these awards and stuff. And I think have fun with it, I like the kind of Clooney method where he kind of led a brigade. And even like Jack Nicholson sitting at the Oscars, I mean, think about Jack Nicholson. He was like the ultimate renegade. Front and center at the Oscar because it's fun.
Uh-huh.
Just have fun with it. So, all right, let's have some fun. Let's talk about these categories. And I tried to kind of lay it out like they do. So we'll start out first. And you know what? We'll kind of talk about the overview of everything as we talk, because everybody knows what the whole point of this night is, and it's called Game of Thrones. So,
yep.
You don't really have, there's not much. I mean, it's like, I think there's some other show, like, I think Handmaid's Tale actually had a lot of noms for the second season, but as I'm looking through, it's not that many. I guess those were more technical or something. But
yeah, there was a couple guest spots, yes, like
right.
Bradley Whitford and somebody else, I think.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I forgot. That's what we were going to look at first, was before we got into, was they already announced some, and they had held the Creative Arts Emmy Awards on, what was it, September 20, what is today's?
I think it was a two night deal. I think it was just this last weekend, like Friday and Saturday, I think.
Yes. Okay. And let's see, the Creative Arts Emmys telecast will be on Saturday. So that's going to be tomorrow on FXX at 8 p.m. And the primetime Emmys are on Fox, which is the big show, at 8 p.m. But they actually already gave out the winners, and yeah, that was last Sunday. So they already gave out outstanding guest actress, which was Cherry Jones in Handmaid's Tale, and she played June's mom, and that was an amazing performance. But that was for season two, not three.
Yeah, when I was looking because I remember, I think last year, I want to say you and Heath maybe did this, and I remember you guys talking, and there was so much confusion because the cutoff dates are not the end of the year like it normally is. Yes. The cutoff date is like June 1st.
Yes, you're
so
right.
Yeah, yep, you're anything absolutely like Stranger right. Things and all those other things that came out in the summer are not eligible for this one.
Yep.
And Handmaid's Tale, I had read something else that Handmaid's Tale held off because they didn't want to go in Game of Thrones way this year, so they held off till the beginning of June.
And that is something that if you look at some of the schedules for the past year, you do notice that. And there were things on streaming especially that were held until Game of Thrones. And people also, as you're saying too, as far as nominations go, because why just if you think you're going to lose? You know. Mm-hmm. And I think, though, that's interesting because then it tells you why they nominate, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you see the kind of far out ones that are nominated in a category with some Game of Throners are people who really believed in themselves. Or sometimes, like we found out with Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones, you can nominate yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was also interesting too. When I was looking at the overall thing, there's only on the drama series, there's only two that were nominated last year for best drama.
Interesting.
Game of Thrones and This Is Us, and all the rest of them are new nominees for this year. I mean, they've been nominated before, some of them, but and the same thing with comedy. Only I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Barry were the only two holdovers.
Interesting. Yeah, so it's an interesting year. And the eligibility you were talking about, you were great, put this in the notes. It's June 1st, 2018 to May 31st, 2019. So anything that came out basically from June on is not eligible, as you said. And that's an interesting thing to look at because there's so much freaking TV, it's hard to remember.
Yeah. I had to go back and like look through what actually came out because I couldn't keep it all straight.
Yeah, it's crazy. But all right, so I'll say a few of the people who won already. So Cherry Jones won. Let's see. These were the kind of awards they give out here that they already gave out are like outstanding sound mixing. Outstanding sound mixing for a comedy or a limited series, you know, outstanding production design, things like that, which I think are pretty interesting. Let's see. Outstanding guest actor, as you said, is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Luke Kirby as Lenny Bruce. And I have not seen that show.
After I talked to you yesterday about coming on, I went and watched a few shows that I hadn't seen any of. So I've only seen a couple episodes of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but he's very good in the episodes I've seen.
Okay. I watched one or two of the episodes in the first season. That's awesome. There's been some controversy about like what they'll include in the actual primetime one as opposed to these. And even though as a production person, I could say to myself like, wow, that would have been awesome to see the outstanding special visual effects, Chernobyl, you know, that was amazing. But that's just going to be a guy come up and they get the award and they show a clip. So sometimes, you know, like outstanding special visual effects went to Game of Thrones for the bells. I saw that episode. I'm glad they won. That was great, you know?
And like, as far as the, I mean, if we're being honest, as far, the reason people watch the main show anyways, it's to see the people we know.
Yes.
And I mean, I love the special, I love all that, the technical stuff. I love seeing it, but you're right. I mean, you don't, nobody knows any of those people. So most people are not going to watch it. Yeah. I can totally understand why.
But I can see they only get upset when it's like Bradley Whitford wins for outstanding guest actor. Yeah. And that's like, that was actually a pretty big role. And especially in that season, it was awesome to see him. So you're like, oh, that's great. You would have liked to seen him come up on stage, and he always has something to say. And also he's going to be in a new show on NBC. So since this is on Fox, they may have been like, yeah, let's not put that one in the, you know what I mean?
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting.
They always think about that, like who's going to get up there. So you can see who outstanding guest actress, Jane Lynch in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, not on Fox. You know, so I think like when it comes to the actors and where they're going to get a push, they know they're going to get a push, because it's not like when Marvelous Mrs. Maisel wins for outstanding musical supervision, you know, you're not that award, unless it has an act accompanying it, you're not going to go watch it because of that. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you see a great actor, you might.
Yep.
So that's something to think about, but it's pretty, but you know, I might tune in. Sometimes, you know, like on a Saturday night, I end up always recording this, and sometimes I watch it a little bit on a Saturday night late. Sometimes I don't, but you know, we'll have to see. But there were some of the things that they gave that I was a little surprised were like outstanding variety special, the Norman Lear thing won.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to seen that on the regular Emmys.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't, actually.
Yeah. And also Carpool Karaoke, which people love. You'd think that they'd want to do a little bit of a...
But like you said, that's a CBS show. Yeah,
exactly. There you go. So some of these... And they did win... They gave out some awards for reality. Queer Eye won for Outstanding Structured Reality Program, which they've really... They've kind of differentiated the reality stuff now, too.
You know, the one thing that I was looking at when I looked through that list that I couldn't figure it out, and I tried looking it up and to why, but Free Solo won a whole bunch of awards. That won the Oscar for Best Documentary.
Because it was bought by CNN and aired on CNN as a CNN original film.
Oh. Yep. I wondered about that. Yep. Well, and didn't they do – they did the same thing for Apollo 11 this year, didn't they?
I think they did. I think so.
I wonder if that'll happen next year too. Yeah, because I could not figure that out. Because you don't often see something that's eligible for both the Oscars and the Emmys.
It's really well. You know, you think about. It could. I wonder if it's happened with like Netflix, and if we look through this list of some stuff.
It happen with that 30 for 30 OJ one?
Oh, it did. You're right. Yep. You're absolutely right.
Now that I think about it, yeah, you're right.
They released it in theaters because it's just eligibility requirements, right? And that's what they're getting in all these arguments with people about, which is really silly because, you know, but it would have been nice to see again. Like, it would have been nice to see Free Solo, but you only got 3 hours and the show's already so long. So it's nice that they even do put this on Saturday because they didn't used to.
Yep. Yeah, it used to be all... non-televised completely. I remember that. Yeah.
And it's a lot of damn awards because I'm going through it right now. And I'm like, holy, we are not talking about all this. Like outstanding sound editing, sound mixing, you know, a lot of picture editing. And this is great stuff. I mean, this is stuff that I did for years. And it's great that people get awards for this. But the important thing is all the people who get these more technical awards get it on their resume and they're getting a job. So that's kind of cool. I always dig that. It's always good for people to get more work. Taking a little break to remind you to go to our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com, baby. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20. Get 20% off your order, no minimum. That's right, baby. It's all there for the taking. If you like NCAA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Marvel, DC, they've got everything. Hey, man, they got new stuff for the Aladdin movie. It's amazing stuff. Check it out. Cufflinks.com has everything along with those classic styles that just look good. They're not all genre stuff. They've got the classic stuff too. So go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20 today. One of the best parts about podcasting is getting to know the listeners and making new friends. And one of those friends is Andy. You may have heard me mention him before on one of our many podcasts. And Andy and his wife, Claire, are looking to adopt. So if you or anybody you know is considering adoption for their baby, please consider the loving family of Andrew and Claire. They're a home study approved adoptive family of three living on a farm in southern Minnesota with a dog, Barney, and two turtles. They're able to adopt from anywhere in the United States and would love to answer any questions you may have. To learn more about them, check out their Facebook page at Andrew and Claire Adopt or on Instagram at Andrew_and_Claire_Adopt. You can also email them at AndrewandClaireAdopt@gmail.com. So again, if you or anyone you know is considering adoption for their baby, reach out at AndrewandClaireAdopt@gmail.com. Thanks. So watch it on Saturday if you can. And hopefully we didn't spoil you too much. It's already spoiled. All right, yeah. let's go to the big ones. Supporting actress in a drama series, Gwendolyn Christie, Game of Thrones. Julia Garner, Ozark. Lena Headey, Game of Thrones. Fiona Shaw, Killing Eve. Sophie Turner, Game of Thrones. Maisie Williams, Game of Thrones. So this is supporting actress. A lot of Game of Thrones, so it's basically Game of Thrones, Ozark, and Killing Eve. I've seen all of these, and I know, I'm familiar with all of these actresses. What do you think, Andy?
Well, sadly, I have not seen Killing Eve yet.
Okay.
So I can't, and I have not seen season two of Ozark. But I mean, out of everybody here, I have to go with Gwendolyn Christie just for that the episode where. In the beginning of the season where, I don't know, are we talking spoilers at all? Or
yeah, of course.
Assume everybody's seen Game of Thrones anyways. The episode where she gets knighted by Jaime, that alone was just so, I can't, I mean, I love everybody in this. There's nobody I would be unhappy with winning. So, but Gwendolyn Christie would be my pick.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of agree with you. And I think the Game of Thrones is like, this is definitely a category where people like, I'm not going to nominate myself. And she nominated herself, Gwendolyn Christie. That's the story.
Yeah. And I think Alfie Allen did too.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I know that I remember seeing there was more than one of them that did.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm trying to. And Lena Headey, I love, but she was nothing in that season. She was hardly even in it. Julia Garner is very young, and it would be awesome if she won. I really like her.
Okay, that's like I say. When I saw Ozark, it was a long time ago, and I have not seen any of the second season, so I don't have much of an opinion on her, unfortunately.
But I think we're both on the Gwendolyn Christie bandwagon. Maisie Williams, great. Sophie Turner, great. Fiona Shaw, I have seen Killing Eve, and she's fantastic. But I do think that it'd be nice to see Gwendolyn Christie win, and I kind of think she is going to win.
That's, I hope so. I mean, I've always thought of her as kind of one of the unsung heroes of that show. She never gets the pub with the rest of them. And,
my favorite. But
I'd be happy with any of them. So.
Yeah. I love the tall women, man. I'll tell you. I'm a fan. Supporting actor, as you said before, Alfie Allen, Game of Thrones, Jonathan Banks, Better Call Saul, Nikolai Coster-Waldau, Game of Thrones, the most handsome man in the world, Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage, born on my birthday, a New Jersey guy. Giancarlo Esposito, Better Call Saul. Michael Kelly, House of Cards. Okay. Chris Sullivan, This Is Us. What do you think?
Boy, oh boy. This is another really, really tough one. I mean, I haven't seen This Is Us, so I can't really speak to that. Boy, but the rest of them, boy, oh boy. Maybe, gosh, I can't. Giancarlo Esposito, I think, just because I love that character. I love that on Breaking Bad as well.
And that was a great season for him.
Yeah.
He's not in it as much. I'm going to have to go with Jonathan Banks just because I love him. And I think that his work for years has been, he is that character.
Yes.
And I mean, everyone else did great. I kind of feel like Peter Dinklage is going to win.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And say Jonathan Banks would also be, he's fantastic too. So, I mean, but I think you're probably right. Dinklage probably will. I mean, he's won it a couple times already for the same role. So
yeah,
I'd be surprised if he didn't win.
I think Alfie Allen did a real good job in the final season of Game of Thrones. And I think that he brought a lot of people around and including me on kind of his storyline. And I appreciated that. So all of them did fantastic job. I just have a hankering for some Better Call Saul because you know what I think. I love Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I think it's the best show on television, Better Call Saul.
There's only one or two other ones I would maybe put against it, but it's also in my top couple of TV shows as well. Better Call Saul is amazing.
I love
it. And Game of Thrones doesn't need any more publicity.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too about this is like I am not rooting. I kind of am rooting for Gwendolyn Christie. As we go along, I'll probably pick somebody else from Game of Thrones. But I'm overall kind of rooting for Game of Thrones to lose, even though I was the rarity that really enjoyed the last season. And it's only because of exactly what you said. Nobody needs to find out about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay? And you say I still really liked or almost maybe I could even say I love the last season of Game of Thrones. I just love some other shows a little bit more.
That's how I feel.
We can talk more about that when we get going here.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Like who does not know? Be like Game of Thrones. Is that the ones with dragons?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
Supporting actress in a comedy: Alex Borstein, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Anna Chlumsky, Veep. Remember when she was in My Girl back in the day?
Yeah, and it's shocking that she's the same. Her character in Veep is so different from that. Oh, man,
I love that show.
I do too.
Sheehan Clifford, Fleabag, Olivia Colman, Fleabag, Betty Gilpin, Glow, Sarah Goldberg, Barry, Maren Hinkle, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Kate McKinnon, Saturday Night Live. So we're moving over here to comedy, supporting actress. I have, of course, Kate McKinnon. I've only seen a couple episodes of Miss Maisel, and I've only seen one episode of Fleabag. Betty Gilpin, I know, is amazing in Glow. She has a huge following. People, this was supposed to be an incredible season, so I'm kind of hoping that she wins because I know that there's a lot of people who are like behind her, and that show has kind of like a good. They have like a quality fan base. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you can count me as one of them because that's who I want to see win.
Okay.
She is amazing on that show. And I think a lot of people get turned off because of the wrestling aspect of the show. And that's not really what the show is about at all. People should seriously check this show. And like the third season that just came out this summer, I don't think if I can remember right, I don't think there's more than one scene even in a wrestling ring. It's not really about wrestling. It's an amazing show. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, it's one of those shows that I tried the first like two or three episodes a couple of times and I just wasn't in the mood for it, but it's something that I know is good. And I feel like one day I'll be like, oh, let me watch Glow and then I'll watch it all.
Yeah, it's
because it's great. I didn't have any complaints. I just didn't go back to it. I don't know why.
And part of why I like it, I mean, and I think there's a few other shows that are nominated in these same comedy categories where it's funny, but it almost should be in the drama category.
Yes. That's something I noticed too. I wasn't really laughing. It was more of a drama to me.
Yeah, and there's quite a few in that best comedy thing that I think actually should be in drama, but since they're half hour shows, they somehow get put in comedy, which I don't get. But anyways,
it's tough, right? Because I think that, you know, American television has become so much more like we used to say, you know, remember when we started podcasting, we'd be like, oh, I wish American TV was more like British TV, shorter. And it's kind of more different. And it now is like that, where you have these shows where the tone is unique and it's hard to describe what it is, but they gotta have to throw it in a category and all of these things. Like, from, I've only seen one episode of Fleabag, but it's much more than a comedy. It's very dramatic.
100%.
And Veep is a comedy, though it is dramatic. Veep, that fits. And Marvelous Miss Maisel, too. Is that really a comedy?
I mean, I think it's more of a comedy than Glow or Fleabag maybe is, but it's still right on that dramedy line.
Yeah, and Barry, too. Barry is not a comedy.
No. That was going to be my other one that I was going to say. There is no reason Barry should be in the comedy.
No. Barry is not a comedy. Barry is a dark-ass show that is kind of funny sometimes, and you feel bad about laughing at it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's one of the ones where I'm covering my mouth and I'm laughing because I'm horrified in myself that I'm laughing at it.
But it's amazing. But they got to do it. You know, it's like, what kind of category are you going to have? Like melancholy comedy or so they got to do it. And of course, one thing we haven't mentioned, and for me, it's kind of, you know, sometimes like people who aren't nominated. And when people, it's hard to do that because when people aren't nominated, like we've discussed, you know, you can be the way this thing works, it's an industry. There's so many different ways. So you don't know sometimes why someone's not nominated, or a small show, they didn't get the push, they didn't believe, or they even tried to get the nominee, but they didn't achieve it because, you know, much more people try for a nominee. It's just something to get nominated, you know? So there's probably for these 5-10 people, there's like 20 people that were not, that had sent in their registration to attempt to get nominated, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's good to see Fleabag getting these nominations. Glow, Barry is really popular. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel continues to get nominations after that surprise win. What was it, 2 years ago?
I think it was actually last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And they, because this is what? Is this for the third season or the second?
Season. Okay. I believe it's the second season. Yeah.
Okay. So that's cool that they continue. Cause sometimes you see, like, remember when The Affair won and then nothing, and they never got nominated for anything ever again.
Yep.
And people were like, well, I guess somebody got paid for that one, or they were,
you know, yeah,
this was
the, before we move off of this one too, there's one person, I said at the beginning, I wanted to mention a few people that I wish would have been. And this is one of the categories that I wish. Darcy Corden from The Good Place.
Yes.
She plays Janet.
She's great.
If anybody, and there's, are you caught up on The Good Place?
Yes, I am.
Okay. There's one episode in particular that she just blew me away this last season. And if anybody hasn't watched The Good Place and listens to this podcast, watch The Good Place. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's,
that's one of the things too. I mean, I can think about so many other amazing, funny women that should be nominated here and that aren't. And then it's hard to know why, but she would have been, she would have been a great one. And I kind of feel like it does, you know, people don't talk about a lot, but I think a lot of it does have to do with what network is airing it. Like, I feel like if the good, like sometimes you see they'll kind of pop in, and I feel like if this was on NBC, maybe they would have gotten a few more nominations, you know? But even though, well, we'll have to see. But there's great. I mean, Kate McKinnon is always amazing. Any of these people win. Sarah Goldberg is an interesting choice because of all the people in Barry, she is great, but she's not a huge part of the show.
No.
You know? And I mean, she is in a sense to her connection to Barry, but really, I feel as if they're not, I don't know if they're even writing her that great yet. So,
part of what I think, I've seen this before too, especially at the Oscars. I wonder if part of the reason why she got nominated is because there's a lot of support for that show.
Yes.
Just overall, I think they might be in for a big night on Sunday.
Yeah,
and I hope they are. So, yeah.
Me too, because that show is very unique. And I've said it on this show, I expected nothing out of that. I was like, another killer who wants to do something else, you know, like it's like Gross Point Blank as an actor, who cares? And then one episode in, I was like, this is fucking cool.
Yep.
This guy is great. And then I remembered when he was on Bill Simmons and other, and I remember watching the South Park doc and how he is just like a, the dude is like a genius.
Yep.
He just can do, he just sets his mind to do things. I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. And then he just does it. I love him.
He's amazing. I even heard him, I think it was sometime in last year or so, he was a guest on like Turner Classic Movies one night, and he just introduced movies that he loved all night long. I mean, he was great even doing that.
Yep. He is awesome. Yeah, he talked about, I think he said like his mom was like a teacher or something, and his whole family would watch like foreign films together. I think that's great, man.
Yep.
That is. I wonder if they use dubbed or subtitles when they watch Dark. man. Yeah. Let's see. Supporting actor in a comedy series. Alan Arkin, The Kominsky Method. Anthony Carrigan, Barry. Tony Hale, Veep. Stephen Root, Barry. Tony Shalhoub, Marvelous Miss Maisel. Henry Winkler, Barry. Three Barrys here. Have you seen any of The Kominsky Method?
I watched about two episodes or an episode and a half, and I can't do it. I love Alan Arkin. I love Michael Douglas, but
It's not my cup of tea. I can't. I am not a
– Nope.
You know, that is by Chuck Lorre.
Yeah. And yeah, I was not a big Two and a Half Men fan. I'm not a big – I mean, that's just not my
– Me neither.
Maybe 20 years ago, maybe I would have liked it, but not anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not that I don't like hate it or anything. I just couldn't get – I wanted to get into it more because of the actors are amazing.
Yeah.
And I like the setting. It was kind of funny. But it just went in directions that I just didn't find funny, or I didn't think it was like – I felt sometimes it was like it wasn't believable, you know? It would like stretch the boundaries of my belief of what these characters would do. So you're right. It was much more in the realm of a sitcom than it is like a single cam. And I think that's his writing style. So, but people love Alan Arkin, and I don't blame him.
I mean, that's the whole reason I gave the show a chance, is because of him and Michael Douglas, who I will always check out anything those guys do. So
yeah. And let me see. I think Anthony Carrigan, I want to see who he is.
He plays the Russian, his buddy.
That's who I thought he. Oh, it is hilarious. Him. Oh my God! Yes. Yeah. Oh please, NoHo Hank.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. I couldn't think of what his name was.
Yeah, Barry. Come on, Barry. What are you doing, Barry?
So
please.
Great. So great.
Yeah, I have to say, I always root for Tony Hale because I love the dude. But in this, I'm going to say I'm going in rooting for Anthony Carrigan because he's not a huge part of Barry, but whenever he's on the screen, like Stephen Root is actually probably gets to act more.
Yeah.
On that show, but I think I would vote for Carrigan. How about you? Who are you feeling in this category?
Well, I think Tony Hale's going to win it. And Tony Hale is amazing. He is one of the best parts of that show.
Definitely.
But I have to agree with you. I want to see Anthony Carrigan win because he is so great. But I'd also be happy. Stephen Root. I've loved Stephen Root forever, way back to the news radio. And I mean, I'm a huge Stephen Root fan as well. So I'd be happy with him winning just because I'm a big Stephen Root fan. So
yeah.
But great, all these actors are great. So
my stapler. I need my stapler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Office Space, too. Yes.
That was him.
Yep. And he did like four or five voices on King of the Hill. I'm a big Stephen Root fan.
He's amazing. I'm going to burn the whole office down. What? What are you? Shut up. Bye bye. You see you Monday. No, the office will be burnt down. this is great. Yeah. And Henry Winkler, also a varied role. And it's great. It would be great to see the Fonz win, you know.
Yep.
This is all great. You know what? Actually, and even Tony Shalhoub going back to Monk and all of these people are great, but I'm still pulling for NoHo Hank because he's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, I agree.
And I hope that he would accept his win in character.
He'd have to at least do a line or two for sure.
And that would be worth it for me.
Yeah.
All right, let's go drama. Okay, big one. Drama actress. Emilia Clarke, Game of Thrones. Jodie Comer, Killing Eve. Viola Davis. How the frick is she nominated to Get Away with Murder? She's Laura Lynn, Ozark. Mandy Moore, This Is Us. Sandra Oh, Killing Eve. Robin Wright, House of Cards.
Oh, and I think it's Laura Linney.
Oh, Laura Lynn. Oh, yeah. Why did that? That's right. Who's Laura Lynn? Okay.
I'm not
sure. Interesting. Laura Lynn. Laura Linney. That sounds like a country music artist.
Yeah, it does.
Laura Linney. She's amazing. Oh, remember, did you ever see You Can Count on Me?
Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah.
A long time ago. I barely remember it.
I love that's one. I think that is the greatest film about, like brothers and sisters that I've ever seen. I love that film. That is so brilliant,
but I'll have to revisit that.
Yeah. But Ozark, not as brilliant as although I watched I know Newbie Dudes loves Ozark, but I couldn't get through the second season.
That's another one that's on my list, a never ending list to watch and just haven't gotten caught up to it yet.
It is fun though. It keeps it moving.
And I mean, I like Laura Linney. I love Jason Bateman. So I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Jason Bateman. So out of this list, is there anyone that you have an affinity for?
Well, out of this list, to be honest, on most of these, I am not caught up on any of the, besides Emilia Clarke, obviously. So I don't really have enough. I don't have enough to say who will or should. I'm way behind on House of Cards.
Okay.
Killing Eve, I haven't seen. This Is Us, I haven't seen. I'm behind on Ozark. This is the one category where I'm really, I don't have very good knowledge on these people, okay, besides who they are anyways. So.
Yeah, I've seen Killing Eve. I think they're both fantastic in that show. I think Robin Wright in the final season of House of Cards was really the best part about the season. Even though I think House of Cards was always fun. I always thought that was a fun, dumb show.
Yeah.
Emilia Clarke was amazing in Game of Thrones. But this is actually, for me, this is kind of I feel like there's just a lot of people missing from this category, honestly.
Well, I would say, where is Julia Roberts, for one thing?
Yeah, where's Rhea Seehorn?
Yeah, Rhea Seehorn should be the winner here.
This is the best. I mean, I'm not saying that all these women aren't great. They are.
Yep.
But I also feel like Emilia Clarke, was she great in Game of Thrones? Yeah. You know,
she is not Kim Wexler, though.
Exactly.
That might be the most shocking not nominated person on the entire. I mean, that Better Call Saul is, I think, a lot of times more about her than it is about Saul.
I agree.
I mean, it's, oh, yeah.
Especially that season that they would have been nominated. So I'm going to have to, I guess Emilia Clarke is the favorite.
Maybe there'll be a big write-in vote and we'll see Rhea Seehorn up on the stage.
Maybe Kanye will rush the stage in her name in like a Halloween costume, dressed up. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a big affinity.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Robin Wright win just to ask some kind of stick it to Kevin Spacey or some stupid thing like that.
I see what you're trying to. Yeah, they do things like that, and then she can get up and say something. But I kind of feel like that's kind of died down. That's interesting, too, because I don't think that this awards, you know, last year the awards were so political. I can understand why, you know, whatever. But I don't think that this year it's going to have that same bend. I feel like this is going to be about the shows and mostly about Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So that's an interesting point.
I would prefer it to be that way anyway.
Me too. I would too, because then I think it just kind of keeps you more on the individuals get to shine instead of like a theme.
Yeah.
I like it better when the award show is less thematic and more about like individual great moments.
Yep.
We'll see. All right, let's go to drama actor. Jason Bateman, Ozark, Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us, Kit Harington, Game of Thrones, Bob Odenkirk, that's my pick, I'm going to say it right now, Billy Porter, Pose, great in Pose. I still want to see Pose, but I've heard amazing things, and he was great in American Horror Story. I love that dude. And Milo Ventimiglia, okay, I'm going to try to say this. Can you say it?
Ventimiglia?
Okay, I think that's right. I should know this too. I'm from New Jersey.
I was going to say, he's got to be from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I know, right? Milo Ventimiglia. I can't even say it. Ventimiglia. All right, Solo could pronounce that. I know that, okay?
Yeah, yep.
I got the Irish girl's name.
Have to have him do some post-editing, and he can edit that in for you.
We'll get Solo in for ADR.
Yeah, exactly.
this category, too, I feel like Bob Odenkirk. I feel like it's probably, I hope it's going to be Bob Odenkirk, Kit Harington. Look, I love Game of Thrones, but I don't think he was great in the reaction of after Danny's wrath. That was amazing. He really sold me. There were certain moments where he really, his acting has turned up a notch.
Yep.
And Jason Bateman in this one season and about three or four episodes of Ozark, I saw he is really great in that show. He's a great actor. I know Sterling K. Brown has won before. I know Jason Bateman and Sterling K. Brown won before, I believe. Kit Harington has it. I don't think Milo has won.
And I think this is the first time Harrington is in lead.
Yeah. So I'm just going to put all my eggs in the Better Call Saul basket.
Yeah, I agree with you here. Odenkirk has to win.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's move on to comedy actress. Christina Applegate, Dead to Me. Rachel Brosnahan, or Brett's wife as he's described to us, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, a national American institution. Natasha Lyonne, Russian Doll. Catherine O'Hara, Schitt's Creek. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Fleabag. And it's cool to see Schitt's Creek. I know they're getting a lot of press that they got nominated. Small little Canadian show from the son of, what's his name? I'm forgetting. You know, the guy from American Pie. Eugene Levy.
Oh, yeah. Eugene Levy. Yep.
Eugene Levy's son created this show and stars in it. So it's a great kind of story.
Really? That's actually, I didn't realize that's his actual son.
Yep. That's his son. And and he created it, and he directs a lot of it, and he's the executive producer. He show runs it. It's really like a family little show that got made in Canada and then got sold to this show. What's it? Pop Network here.
Yeah, Pop.
Yeah, they took One Day at a Time as well now, and they're creating kind of a little network there. So it's a great story. And Catherine O'Hara, I mean, come on.
She's always great.
It's like to have her and Julia Louis-Dreyfus in the same category. And then you look, Christina Applegate acting for 25 years. Natasha Lyonne, since she was a little kid. You know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is not only writes, directs, executive produced, does Star Wars voices, is like is like doing rewrites on Mission Impossible. I mean, she is an amazing – this is a stacked category. But I feel like it's going to go to Julia Louis-Dreyfus because she's just like the queen of America.
Yep. I think I'd be shocked if anybody else won, especially since it was her last season.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, I loved the last season of Veep. I thought it was fantastic.
Me too. People thought it was a little off, but I thought it was really great. And you could see the change when the showrunner change happened, but I kind of liked it. I think it needed to go in that direction.
Yep.
And I liked it. And it became a little bit more to the last season was a little bit more American, I feel like. And I don't want to be against, because I know that the original creator was British, but it was more of like, I feel like it had a more universal appeal. And in the final season, it kind of honed in on kind of what's happening now here.
Yep.
And the last couple seasons. And I kind of dug that because, you know, the guy from Seinfeld took over.
Yeah. I can't remember his name either, but yeah.
Yeah, he's great. But Christina App, did you see Dead to Me?
That's another one I really want to. I have always been a Christina Applegate fan. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
That's a fun one to watch with the wife. It's fun to kind of talk while it was really great. I love that. And I'm surprised that her co-star in Dead to Me from Freaks and Geeks, her name is eluding me, that she wasn't nominated as well. You know, she was in Mad Men a couple. She's been popping up here and there. We're both going to the computer.
Linda Cardellini.
Linda Cardellini. She should have been nominated too.
Yep.
But what are you going to do? You can only have a certain amount. So, but
yeah,
good cat. And Phoebe Waller. I wish I could get into Fleabag. Have you watched it?
I watched a couple episodes. That was one of the actually out of this category. There is a bunch of them that, like I said, after I talked to you yesterday, that I watched, and I enjoyed it, but it's definitely a show that I'm going to have to take my time with.
Yeah,
it's pretty hard.
it's
in your face. I think I can't think of the right way to describe it, but
back in the day, Andy, we would describe it as it's gutter style.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
That's kind of what we would say back in the day. It's real gutter style. Like, it's down and dirty, and I can – it's – but I don't know. I guess I just couldn't the first thing. And you got to get used to her talking to the camera, and it has a tone. You know?
Yeah, the talking to the camera thing, I don't mind. I didn't mind because I thought that was it flowed good enough. But it's just the in your faceness of it that was a little. I mean, it was a little jarring at first.
Yeah, a lot of sex stuff in there.
I was not ready for how it was like. Whoa, okay, this is the kind of show that we're watching. So
yes, Andy and I are nice old dads.
Yeah, that's exactly right
to us.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly right. I'm just a small town boy who doesn't see anything bad ever. So.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh my gosh, heavens to Murgatroyd.
Yeah.
It was good. I think I will at some point get into it though, because I can't deny all these people that I respect and critics and such saying this is amazing.
Yeah, I've heard the second season is supposed to be really amazing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and it's the guy from Sherlock plays, okay. I believe, her love interest, and he's amazing. He played Moriarty in Sherlock.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's fantastic. And Russian Doll was great. Did you watch that?
That show, I got a little funny side story about that. And like I've mentioned a few times already yesterday after I talked to you, I wanted to catch up on a few things. And I had not seen any of Russian Doll. So I'm like, okay, I'll put this thing on. And I did something that I haven't done since season one of Lost. And I watched the entire show in one day.
Wow. It's great,
I watched
isn't it?
Overnight. I loved it.
Yeah.
And it's another one. It's funny, but I'm not really sure why it's in the comedy.
Yeah. I think that I described when I first said something on Facebook, I was like, this is what they mean when they say a force of nature. Like,
she
eats the camera, and like
every
scene she's in, she just dominates.
Yeah.
And that's part of the character though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
And that is so, it's just rarely does something just so work. And I watched like one episode. I couldn't get into it. I tried it again. I couldn't get, and then the third time I did what you did, and I watched it in 2 days, and I just, it's not that long. It's only like three half hour episodes, right?
Yeah, I think it was eight.
Okay, so.
Because I started watching it at like 10 o'clock last night, and about 2 o'clock I think I finished.
Okay, there you go. So I think I did 2 hours over 2 nights.
Yeah, I thought she was amazing in that, because I've always known who she is, obviously, since way back when, but she's never really stood out to me as great or bad, either one. She's always just been an actress that's been decent, but I've never really had any thoughts on her one way or the other, but I thought she was amazing in that show.
Yeah. Now, I have always been a fan of her. She is total New York up and down. She used to live around the neighborhood of World of Video. So I used to see her out and about. I'm pretty sure she was in the store a couple of times, and you'd always hear about her. Because she's just like New York, you know. She grew up there, and and this show is so New York too, which is part of the reason why I love it. And one of the reasons why you can really, I think it's so great to binge, is because of what the show is. And I don't want to spoil for those who haven't seen it, but it's kind of has a cyclical nature to it.
And
so,
that's part of why I watched the whole thing
in
one
like,
sitting, because I knew that there was stuff. If I didn't watch it, I wouldn't remember.
Yeah,
little
you got to keep up with it. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like you want to, and it's almost as if you sometimes think a new episode is starting in the middle of an episode.
Yep.
So you're like, when the new episode starts, it's just like the episode is continuing. It's really, you know, Amy Poehler, I think, wrote and is a part of this.
Yeah, and she's one of the producers. When I saw her name, I was very surprised. I'm always a big Poehler fan, but I didn't know she could go into this kind of – I don't want to say too much because it's too easy to spoil it, but – Yeah,
this is one that's worth not spoiling. So everyone go out and watch Russian Doll. I'm glad you watched that, man. That was so fun. And those neighborhoods, man, I spent so much time there. Like I could recognize corners. And I'm telling you, I have been in that bodega that it plays a big part. It is such a New York show, and they did such a great job. Even the party and the apartments, and like, it's just so, it's really so New York. And the fact that they're like of that age and still living that life in New York is a very New York thing that, you know, like she's singles, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't want to meet the kid, you know, like this kind of stuff that happens in the show. It's like, oh my God, I knew so many women like that in New York that were like, oh God, what is the last thing I fucking want is a kid? Are you kidding me? You know, as they're like, oh, I gotta go to four parties tonight. And I'm like, wow, this is it really captures something. It's almost like, I almost felt that it was like, could go in like the National Archive as part of like New York history, this show. And I'm surprised more people haven't talked about how New York it really is, because it's really fantastic. But I
love it. I did too.
If she wins, I'll be happy too.
Yep. I think she's a dark horse. I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge could also sneak in and steal this one too.
True. Well, we'll see. All right. We're getting to the keep on that. We got one more actor until we get to the big series. And this is the final comedy actor, Anthony Anderson, Black-ish, Bill Hader, Barry, Don Cheadle, Black Monday. Interesting. Eugene Levy, Schitt's Creek, Michael Douglas, The Kominsky Method, and Ted Danson, The Good Place.
What do you think? So, Hader.
Yeah.
I can't.
I agree.
I can't not pick Hader here. Yeah,
I agree. What? Even though Ted Danson is absolutely amazing, and that is more of a comedy.
Yep.
You know, you could put it in that way. Like, I have to say overall Hader, but for comedy, Ted Danson.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because, Ted Danson is also just amazing at it. And I watched a couple episodes of Schitt's Creek, and Eugene Levy is very good, too. But it's not against Hader. Hader is so amazing in that show.
Yeah. Yeah, Eugene Levy is great. And I've seen, like, five episodes of Schitt's Creek. And, I think it's fun, and he's Eugene Levy.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly right.
He's always the same guy, but you love him.
Yep.
You know, like,
hey, what is Black Monday? I don't even know what that is.
Okay. So Black Monday is Don Cheadle. It's a Showtime show, or it's either Showtime or Stars. It's just like, do you know that he did five seasons of a show where he was like a marketing person or something on Showtime? You remember that show?
Yeah, that's the one with Kristen Bell, isn't it?
Yeah, and nobody, it didn't get a lot of attention, and it had a weird tone to it. And Black Monday is another weird-toned comedy set during the financial crisis.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
So, I really even haven't heard that much about it.
This was the first time I'd even heard about it when I was looking at these lists, and I'm like, what is this show? I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see, but I don't know much about it. It's one of those where I have to say it's like the same thing kind of like with the Kominsky Method, which is great actor, but not that into it, nor really care.
Yep.
So Bill Hader's our final. We both agree, comedy actor.
Yep.
We got to go there. And it's interesting to note, Andy, you see Black-ish. Let's see. This Is Us, only network shows. Look, of all the things we've talked about.
The Good Place.
Okay, The Good Place, Saturday Night Live, Black-ish. Yeah, that's not a lot, man.
Not many at all,
right? Remember back in the day when they used to be like, the first streaming nomination.
Yeah.
Now they're surprised when somebody on their network gets nominated.
I wish that would push the networks to make better shows. Yeah.
Because when we were thinking about it, I was thinking about what network owned the streaming. When I was like, oh, this, they don't want them on that, right?
Yep.
So let's see. All right. Best comedy series, Barry, Fleabag, The Good Place, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Russian Doll, Schitt's Creek, and Veep. A great lineup. This is a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
My heart is with, I have to say, after talking so much about it, my heart is probably going to be with Russian Doll because I think it's so unique and weird. But I love Barry. I feel like the push is behind it. That was a fantastic season. I think Barry's probably – I don't know. Maybe Barry will win. Maybe Veep will win. That was a great season of Veep. I can't, everyone I look at, I like them. But
yeah.
I don't know. If Barry, Veep, or Russian Doll wins, I'll be happy. Or The Good Place. My God, I forgot The Good Place. I love The Good Place.
I know. Oh, this one's hard.
Now, okay, you know what? Now I hope The Good Place wins because it probably is the least popular show of all of these. Even it's probably least popular than Fleabag. No, not than Fleabag that or Schitt's Creek. All right. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Andy? I'm just talking in circles.
Well, like I say, this is like 1A, 1B, and 1C. Exactly. My hope, I think, is Barry, just because that show just completely – I mean, The Good Place also is one of my all-time favorite shows, but Barry this season just – Hader just blew me away this season. It was so good. But like if you talk – and Russian Doll also is – granted, I've only sat with Russian Doll for, I don't know, 12 hours or however long it's been, but I also love that. I'll be curious to see after I get some time on me how I feel about that. But I love that too. Veep. I love the last season of Veep. I thought the final episode of Veep was awesome. They closed out that show great too. So my hope is Barry, I guess, but I'd be happy with any of these winning, I think.
Yeah, I got to say, I feel the same. It's great, and it'll be good that all of these shows are getting some acclaim. And the more, you know, it's good, very good for Fleabag and The Good Place and Schitt's Creek and even Russian Doll, which I think a lot, which with streaming now, things come and go so quickly.
Yeah.
And they are doing a second season of that.
And I was, that one is shocking. I can't even fathom how they're going to even do that. But the thing with that too, that's one of the reasons why I like doing this is that I'd forgotten about that show.
Yeah.
It had been on my list to watch forever.
Yeah.
And then when I was looking at the stuff, looking up some stuff last night after talking to you, I'm like, oh, Russian Doll. I haven't even completely forgot about it. So I do like that. It brings some of those back into the conversation for people.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. That's
and
good.
I think when I was looking at this too, I think is Fleabag over now too. I thought I heard that might be finished.
That was only the second season, but you know what? She is so in demand. I mean, you know, she wrote Killing Eve.
Yeah,
and is part
of
the production as well, and I think has directed some episodes.
I mean, I might be wrong. I thought I heard her say that this was the final thing, but I've also tried to. I also have not. I might be completely wrong because I try not to read too much about it because I haven't watched it yet. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. Either way, a great, great.
Yeah.
This is a great lineup. Not a lot of stinkers here. You know, I think we're way more going through these and saying, this is a lot of talented people. And that's fun because, you know, you still think about growing up and it would be like the same people over and over, or like the Big Bang Theory. Everybody would be nominated.
Yeah.
You know, for like 4 years, 5 years in a row. All right. Uh-huh. Limited series. This best limited series. Chernobyl, Escape at Denimore, Fosse Verdon, Sharp Objects, When They See Us. And unfortunately, I've only seen Chernobyl.
Well, I watched a couple episodes of When They See Us. It was good, but it didn't catch me as much as some people. I watched all of Sharp Objects, which I really, really liked. I mean, sort of, it's the same guy that made season one of Big Little Lies.
I know. I don't know why I haven't watched my and wife and I keep on forgetting about it.
It's a lot darker than watch it. It's a lot darker than it, but the filmmaking is very similar. Same kind of editing, same kind of jumping in time every once in a while, and all kinds of. I really thought it was good, but it's more of a horror show than it is a drama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still a lot of drama in it, but there's horror elements to it.
Ooh,
I thought
interesting.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of Fosse, and I've been meaning to watch Escape at Denimora. I remember Heath put that on his top 10 of the year last year, I think. Yeah. So that's been sticking in my mind. I haven't.
Executive produced and directed by Ben Stiller.
That's, you know, he's got talent.
Yeah. That's interesting, right?
Yeah, very. And Chernobyl has to win of the ones I've seen. That show is... I think they'll be teaching that in schools someday. It's just such an amazing show.
It is. Chernobyl was fantastic, and it was such a almost, I mean, it was like a worldwide production on such a large scale. Escape at Denimora has gotten a lot of acclaim. People really enjoyed it. A little, it's on the edge there because it was released a while back.
Yep.
Fosse Verdon, I did not check it out. I know that there were mixed reviews on it, that some of it was great, and some people who were more into it were into it. You know, it was more specific.
Yeah.
But great cast. Michelle Williams, right?
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, former World of Video employee.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was a delivery guy. He left like 3 years before I worked there. But Sean worked with him. I'll have Sean on Sunday. We'll talk about Veronica Mars.
Cool.
And when they see us, Ava DuVernay about the Central Park Five.
Yep.
My wife really wants to. I think I will check that out. I'm glad to see Ava DuVernay come back and do something like this, because man, her big movie was. I always mention it. It was so bad.
I got about 5 minutes into it, and I was like, I just don't feel like. Well, I got better things I can watch, shit,
man. I mean, listen, there's like a crowd of people, and there is this huge tracking shot, and it just breaks in the middle, and they cut to someone behind the shot, and I was like, what the hell is going on in this movie? She just had too much money. I think it was, you know, it was like, it's almost like an embarrassment of riches, and that's what happens. Nobody to say no, too much money, everybody's happy, having fun on the set, and then they get into editing, and they go, what the hell is this? And it was it was like I felt like I was watching the trailer while I was watching the movie, you know? So I'm glad to see that she went back, took a step back and went to stories that really matter to her, and that she can deal with more people talking. That was what got her acclaim for her original film. It was people in a room talking, event, you know, with that.
The episodes that I've seen of that, my impression was is that it was very well made and it was good, but I kind of have a feeling that it's in here because of the content more than the actual filmmaking. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm
fine with that. At time, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. It's very well made. There's no question about it. But I think it's more about the subject matter maybe than the filmmaking.
It's gotten a good amount of acclaim. And it's definitely a subject, I mean, as we, you know, that people are very attached to, especially with modern politics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's.
And I've only seen half of it too, so I might be way off base on that too.
You never know. And I mean, and you know what, Andy, I think that could come from, and I think that that's a natural inclination, is because of what we were talking about, where. Over the past 3 or 4 years, the award shows have become very political, and there's a lot of things that seem to follow a movement, and then you see a lot of nominations, right? Mm-hmm. Or you don't even have to call it political, social, cultural, attached to some sort of movement, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, because I don't think, like I said, I think that this year, and maybe it'll bear out during the ceremony, I just think like it's going to be more about the way I think about it is this: since there's an actual election happening, people can concentrate on that. Right. And they don't need to use this as a way.
Yeah. As a platform.
Right. Because they have the platform, the election's happening.
Yep.
So they have their platform. And I think that's a natural kind of thing that you see happen in the media.
Yeah.
And that's why you go through these kind of like waves of like when sports gets political, when it doesn't. And it usually doesn't when there's an actual election.
Man, that's a very good point. I've never actually thought of it.
That's the way I've seen it. Maybe I'm wrong about it, but
I think you might have something there.
You know, that's kind of always been my kind of like thing, is that I think it's like, because people feel like not enough people are talking about, you know what I mean? Like they got to get the word out because life is just going along. But when there's an event that they can gear towards, like an election, it gives them focus. So I think that we might find that in the Oscars and, you know, in these Emmys, that it becomes a little bit less about that, because people are kind of like, well, that's everywhere. Can't we just talk about the TV shows tonight?
Yep.
You know, like, no, because guess what, America? Nobody's ignoring politics today. Right? Like, it's everywhere. It's kind of like it has become the new sports or entertainment or TV. Everybody's political now.
Yep.
Right? Like, yeah, that's kind of the way it is. So I do, but as far as this one goes, I don't see that. I don't see it that way. I think that this has got a good critical acclaim, interesting subject matter. And I think that, being as though that it is Netflix, right? And
yep,
they are really good with getting their stuff in there. And I guess it's also an interesting thing when you think about what is a limited series, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, it could also be like when you think about these, you're like, okay, they're probably not going to do a part two to When They See Us.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's definitely limited. Yeah.
Yeah, it tells a story, right? Yeah. So,
and I should clarify a little bit too. When I was saying more of the content, I didn't necessarily mean that they were trying to. I don't think I was. I mean, I maybe came off a little wrong. I don't think they were trying to make a political point by nominating it. I think it was more just the story of the. Of the actual story, because it is I don't want to say a good story, but it's a very interesting story that does need to be told, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
If that makes sense.
No, completely, brother. I know where you're coming from, man.
And
yeah, we have to all, you know, it's a fine line we all have to walk when we talk about that, because from both perspectives, there is a perspective. And even those of us who want more diversity and want different things, still we know when sometimes we're being sold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So This is something I've noticed actually, Andy, by talking to like younger people. You know, I do shows with Justin, that younger people are more attuned to that, whereas us older people are a little bit more of about a bit more like, okay, well, it's good to see it, but they kind of grew up with it more, so they kind of want to see it more authentic.
I agree with you 100%. I have a few cousins that are in their early 20s, and I get that impression, same type of impression quite a bit.
And because you at first can be taken aback, like, oh, what, you don't like that? And like, no, we do like that, but I don't want to feel like I'm being sold to, or like I'm being told what to do. And that's a whole different subject.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, it's interesting. America's going through an interesting time.
Yes, it is.
An interesting time. But let's talk about TV.
that's a lot more fun.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Now, we have a huge list for drama series. And when I saw this, I was like, do they just come up with how many people they can put in the category? Because this is like double the amount of all the other things. They're like, did I copy this wrong or something? Because there is like, there's,
I know,
there's like eight nominees here.
Yeah. And a lot of other ones that easily could have made the list that aren't.
Yeah. So it is. So it's Better Call Saul, Bodyguard, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, Ozark, Posse, Succession, This Is Us. Good list here. I've seen Better Call Saul, Bodyguard, Game of Thrones, Killing Eve, a bit of Ozark. I've seen 5 episodes of Succession. I got to finish the first season. I have watched a couple episodes of This Is Us, but not that season. And I have not yet watched Posse.
Pose.
Oh, why do I keep on saying Posse?
I'm not sure.
Thank you for correcting me, because I know somebody was going to make fun of me online. I probably said it 4 times anyway.
No, I don't. I think that's the first time you said Posse. Okay.
Why did I say Posse? I don't know.
I'm sure I would have said something if you said it before then. I wouldn't have let you make an ass out of yourself that bad.
No, that wouldn't be the first time. What do you think?
Well, out of these, I haven't seen all of Bodyguard. I've seen probably about half of it, which I liked it. And I haven't seen Killing Eve or this season of Ozark or Pose. Seen part of Succession, which I really liked. And This Is Us, I have not seen either.
Have you seen Posse?
I haven't seen Posse either. Like that old Western from like the 90s? Yeah, that maybe.
That's what I was thinking of, I think, right? That's,
yeah. I think it had Tone Loke in it, right?
Yeah, dude, you're right. It was, you know who directed that? Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, nice. That was going to say John Singleton. Peebles, but yeah, no, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, I have to go with Better Call Saul here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. It's so good.
I agree. I know Succession. I really enjoyed that show, and I know it's a slow burner. You really have to kind of sit with it, and it gets better and better.
And that is one that I really loved what I had seen, and I just hadn't gotten back to it yet. Yeah. I plan on it.
Yeah, it has such. It does very have kind of like it is like a low burn. Like you feel, and, like, I'm not really attracted. Oh, I want to go watch. But I think about it, like, that was really good.
And I think I've heard about that too, that the second season is supposed to be better, but yes. I think this is for the first season.
Yep. It is. It is for the first season. Cause the second season is still airing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right.
Yep. So I also, even though I did really like the last season of Game of Thrones, and I think as a spectacle and as a great mythological adventure tale, I really enjoyed the last season, but yeah. My heart is always going to be Better Call. I freaking love Better Call Saul. I will just shout from the rooftops every chance I get, because this show, when it's airing, people are just like, oh, Better Call Saul's on. I'm like, it's the best show. Everybody should be talking about it. But it's almost like so good that people can't comprehend that it even exists. And I love it.
I get frustrated because I still know a lot of people that were huge Breaking Bad fans. And I keep saying, watch it. And yeah. They won't go near it.
I have encountered the same thing, my friend.
I don't get it. I was like, it's so good. It's like, it's different than Breaking Bad, but it's so good.
You know what? Ugh. It's like someone who loved Lost and think Damon Lindelof is a genius. And then you're like, wasn't The Leftovers amazing? Never even heard of it. What's The Leftovers?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, what can you do? It's still there to be discovered. And that's why I root for Better Call Saul. I think Game of Thrones is going to win. I don't think there's much doubt that Game of Thrones is going to win.
Yeah, I agree.
But these other shows, Succession, Pose, like I said, it would be cool to see it. Ozark, I don't know how it keeps on getting in there, because I don't really think that. And then This Is Us, it's like they got to throw in a network show.
Yeah. You know? I'm a little surprised, too, that, like I said before, Homecoming isn't here, or True Detective.
Yeah.
Or the one that I knew wasn't going to happen that I really, really wanted to see here was The Haunting of Hill House. But they're not going to put a horror in there.
And they are missing from nominations, too. I thought the druggy brother, which is not a nice way to describe him. But
And I don't think that even got nominated for directing. And that one episode with which episode I'm talking about.
Yes, which I still am going to cover that episode. I'm telling you, I still have that on my notes. I might do that for Halloween. I was thinking about that.
That would be great.
But yeah, there's a lot of shows missing, but there are some great ones here. Killing Eve is a great show. I really enjoyed it. I can't say, I think the hype was a little bit more than the show. I do. And the same for Bodyguard, Bodyguard 2. You obviously didn't get all the way, so it didn't grab you that much.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I enjoyed it, but I was like, yeah, it's okay, but it wasn't something where I was like, oh my God, I can't stop watching this.
I felt like Bodyguard was the BBC Homeland.
Okay.
That's kind of how I felt, because it's not very, it's like Homeland stretches credulity, if I can't pronounce that correct. It's not believable at all what happens in Homeland. It's like they would have fired Carrie like 18 years ago. But a Bodyguard is very similar. Things happen and you're like, what? But you're like, okay, it's fun.
Yeah. And I fell off of Homecoming after, I can't remember which season it was. It was the season after, what's his name? Who was the lead then in the beginning? I can't think of what his name is right now.
Oh yes. My ginger pal.
Yeah. After he exits the show, I watched part of the next season and I just, it didn't hold me anymore.
Oh, really? Because you know what? It actually, that season was not good. That was the worst season, I think.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of where I was like, you know, there's so many other shows here that I want to watch. I'm not enjoying this anymore. So I kind of gave up on it at that point. I loved it up until that point.
I'll tell you what, Andy, one day, if you feel like it, you'll be sitting at home and be like, oh, let me check Homeland. You might jump into, it's like season 3, because you don't really even need to watch season 2. And you'll have fun with it, because it is a fun show. It has that 24 vibe, you know, it's from the same guys. Yeah. And it's like, action. It's an action show. When the action is happening, I love that show. When they try to convince me that Carrie was in love or whatever, I'd be like, I don't care. She's crazy. I just want to see her try to blow up, save the world or something. You know, like, I don't care. But Killing Eve, I liked, I should say Bodyguard had that same aspect to it where you can't really care so much about I never got too into the characters because Rob Stark was really good. And I liked his character as an action hero kind of guy, but the more dramatic elements fell flat. So that's why when you're talking drama series, I think, you know, like Succession, Pose, Killing Eve, Game of Thrones, Better Call Saul, they have a little bit more of that real drama. But
yeah,
I mean, Game of Thrones, don't you think Game of Thrones is going to win?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if anything else did win here.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, that's it. What else did you want to say?
I was just going to say, I also really loved Game of Thrones this season. I just think Better Call Saul is so good that it's not a slight on Game of Thrones. I think for me, it's just saying how good Better Call Saul is.
Yep. And again, not hating on Game of Thrones, but everybody freaking knows what Game of Thrones is. They don't need any more awards.
Yep.
And guess what? We're getting, like, as I predicted, they already said they're casting for a pilot for another sequel. There's not just going to be one. There's going to be another prequel, and they're going to do another one. This is going to be like HBO in 5 years is going to be an app just called GOT.
Yeah, it's going to, in 20 years, it's going to be like Star Wars is now.
Yep.
Where there's a new TV show or a movie debuting twice a year.
And anyone who doesn't think that the people from the original show are coming back, you're crazy. Because they're all coming back.
Yep.
All of them. Even the ones who are dead. They'll find a way. Guess what? Resurrection exists in Game of Thrones world.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, there were some that we had kind of checked off. I don't know who's going to mention some, but I think we kind of talked about it at the beginning. One thing I did want to say is the directing for a drama series is basically like The Iron Throne, The Last of the Starks, The Long Night, and an episode of Killing Eve in Ozark. But I think it's kind of funny, like all the other things is like so much Game of Thrones. Oh, and we both wanted to mention that we hope that the Barry episode, Ronnie and Lily, wins for best comedy writing.
And directing.
It's both. In there for directing too.
Yeah, Bill Hader could win for directing. He directed that episode. For producing the show, and for best show, and for best writing, and for best acting all in the same year.
Oh, I really hope it went. That, for those of you, I could go into the whole story. I did a little review of it on Daily DVR. Go back and look. But if you haven't seen Barry, this episode is so weird. And Bill Hader did an interview with Bill Simmons, and he did a couple other podcast interviews and written ones, of course, where he described how they came up with this episode. And the reason why I hope it wins is because I just want more people to find out the stupid ways that ideas come to people and off the cuff, and you turn it into something and it becomes an amazing episode of television, you know, and you'd never think it would be that way. But it happens, and that's why I hope that this story gets out there, because it's such a crazy, weird episode.
Oh, it's so bizarre, but so amazing. I remember after it was finished, I just sat there for like 15 minutes just staring at the screen because I couldn't even process what I had just watched.
Yeah, and that was on the same night as The Long Night.
Uh-huh.
So that episode airs, probably the craziest episode of Game of Thrones ever. And then I watch it. I think we podcast it or something. Perry goes to sleep and I say, oh, you know, I'm all wired. And then I sit down and I watch Barry and I'm like, that was better than the Game of Thrones episode. That's
exactly the same thing I did. I watched it at like midnight that night. And oh, yeah. Such a great show.
And it's not giving away too much to say that there is some violence in this episode, and the violence in this episode was way scarier, more realistic and crazy than Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And it shocked me. Like I would, I just ended the episode with my mouth open. I was like, I can't believe they let them make this episode like that. Somebody didn't step in and say, just go a little this way or a little that way. It's so adult. It's so unique and creative that I hope. Yeah, it was such a great. I want to go watch it now. I'm like, oh, I got to get Lachlan out of the room.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't want to give him any ideas, right?
And yeah, that is the one thing about the show. The violence is, it's cranked up and it's so realistic. Yeah. So if violence is not your thing, maybe you won't like it as much. But if you don't have a problem with violence, Barry is so amazing,
especially that season.
Yeah. Season 2 is awesome.
Very great. All right. Well, that brings us to the end, Ando.
Sounds good.
What'd you think? Have a good time?
Yeah, that was good. That was fun.
We had a great episode, everybody. We had a lot of fun talking about the Emmys. I hope everybody watches it. I know I'll be watching it. We'll join our Facebook page. We can talk about it together. Facebook, Daily DVR. Anything, any final words you want to say or anything?
No, I think we just about covered it.
Cool. Well, this was your first podcast. How do you feel?
I feel good. I don't think I stepped over myself too bad, or stepped over you too bad. So I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling good. It was fun.
Thanks for having me. Oh, brother, we're going to be doing more podcasts. You are fantastic, man. This was a lot of fun. It got me more. The part of the reason why I like doing this show too is it gets me more interested in watching the Emmys, you know? And
yep.
It gets that kind of like that live event thing going, oh, we're doing it on Friday. You can listen to this over the weekend. A lot of times I'll be like doing the dishes or something on a Sunday, and then I'll be listening to a podcast about it or, you know?
Yep, that's the same thing I do. Yep. I'll be out mowing the lawn this weekend, and I'll probably listen to the same type of things.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much, Andy. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Yep, thanks. This was fun.
Yeah, we'll hear you again.
I cannot wait.
This is the start of something great.
Excellent.
This is so great that everybody's podcasting now. I'm not going to have any patrons left because everybody's going to be a podcaster.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back on Monday. And you know what? I'm not even sure what I'm bringing you because I was supposed to do a Mindhunter episode. Maybe Heath and I will record Monday. You might get a Mindhunter episode. We're going to be knocking those out because we got to get to it because starting in October, Watchmen is coming up. And actually, I just got a text while we're on the line from A Hustler saying, yo, we better record that Watchmen pod like next week or something when we talk about... we're going to talk about the comic book first and the motion comic I watched and the movie. And then we'll do a little preview of the actual show, though we're not going to spoil too much because I've watched a couple of trailers, but I don't like the big spoilers. So I'm not reading too much about what's going to happen on the show. But we do want to bring you up to speed with the story that exists already, which is important going into watching this new show, though, I think. Have you seen The Watchmen before?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've read the comic. I haven't seen the motion comic. I've read the comic and seen the movie a couple times.
I'm telling you, man, I'm like in love telling everybody to watch this motion comic because it's so cool the way they just made it. It's exactly this, like they didn't edit it at all.
Yeah.
So it's like someone reading the comic to you in a voice and it moves and it just brought me back to when I read it originally. Mm-hmm. And I just all of a sudden like kind of like different things like pop out 3D. But we'll be back with that. We'll be back again. We'll have Andy back. Thank you everyone for listening. Enjoy the Emmys if you watch them. If like us, you watch them with your significant other, have fun doing that too. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out, everybody.